Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Teams of heavily armed terrorists have attacked several different locations in Mumbai, India, including luxury hotels, a popular tourist attraction, and a crowded train station. Seven different coordinated attacks in India's financial capital. Here's what we know. At least 40 people have been killed. We're getting reports as many as 80, perhaps as many as 200 have been injured, many of them quite seriously, and there are hostages. There are reports that the targets in these seven different locations were Westerners and that there are hostages right now.
All right. Well, that's a Fox report from a few hours ago. Islamic fanatics have attacked tourists in India. They have taken Americans and British tourists hostage. They have set a landmark hotel, the Taj Hotel, on fire. Screams can be heard in the background. Enormous clouds of black smoke are rising from the century-old edifice on Mumbai's waterfront. The fact of the matter is, India is at war, only you don't know it. And the question to you is, what should the U.S. government do right now? Should the U.S. military be deployed? Should the tribal areas of Pakistan be wiped out and the rats killed in there once and for all? Should we nuke the tribal areas in Pakistan's wild man region and wipe out the terrorists once and for all? Is this a result of Bush's weakness? Is this a result of Bush's catering to Islamic fanatics? Is this a result of the FBI saying you cannot use the word Islamic in relationship to terrorism? Is this a result of Obama's weakness? Is this a result of the financial meltdown? Is this connected in some way to the threat against the New York subway system that we heard about earlier today? Is this retaliation for the pirate attack? Is this some way related to anything other than more of the same, which is Islamic madness against the world? Mad Islamic fanatics taking it out on Hindus, Christians, Jews, Buddhists, Muslims, anybody but the fanatics. Is this a result of anything other than insanity? I will open up the lines to you on the Savage Nation at 1-800-449-8255. I want to go back first to some of the history of the problems in India. Let's go all the way back to the biggest troublemaker, one of the biggest troublemakers in human history, Mahatma Gandhi. Now, I know you're shocked when I say that. Many of you don't know that Mahatma Gandhi was one of the most manipulative figures of the last century. Many of you think of a man of peace, a man in pajamas, a man who wanted pacifism. Well, all of that is true on the surface. But if you actually read the man's history, his wife, his daughter, what they had to say about him, if you actually read what resulted from this man's monodimensional pacifism, you'll find out that over a million innocent people in India died when he partitioned India into India and Pakistan. Many of you don't even understand that there was no Pakistan until 1947, but the Muslims were causing so much trouble within Hindu India that he decided to cut off an entire section of India and give it to the Muslims to have peace once and for all. Well, did the Hindus get peace once and for all? No, they got pieces once and for all. There is no such thing as satisfying radical Islam. There is no such thing as making peace with radical Islam. Is this a war that we can win, or is this a war that we can never win? What do you think? The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. And by the way, I blame the filth in the media. I blame the vermin in the media. I blame the rats in the American media who elected Obama. I blame the vermin in the media who today are saying, let's not rush to judgment. We don't even know if they're Islamic. They may be Hindu. Well, sure, they might even be Jews. They could be a bunch of rabbis running around India, you rats in the media, you. You worthless garbage, you. I have nothing but contempt for the filth in the media. And I hope to God that when you call the show today, you don't give me a mealy-mouthed solution to this problem. There is no negotiating with terrorists. The problem is we don't have a government that will take the forceful measures necessary. That's the question. But some of you have different opinions. That's what makes talk radio great. That's why I'm going to take your calls. 1-800-449-8255. We begin in Las Vegas. Mark, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I love you like a brother. Hey, you stole my thunder, Dr. Savage. How can I tell you that, you know, we in the Western world, the United States, I don't see how we're going to win this because we do not have the guts. We don't have the stomach to do the things it takes to be violent enough to fight fire with fire and give these, basically we need to exterminate them like rats. And we're so worried about
it. Yeah, we know where they're coming from. We know they're coming out of the training, at least, is probably coming out of the area where Osama bin Laden is hiding. If we can believe our intelligence agencies, of course, we have no real knowledge as to whether they're really intelligence agencies. They're in the tribal areas of Western Pakistan. What the heck do we have nuclear weapons for? What are tactical nuclear weapons for but to wipe out an enemy? The enemy lives there. Kill them and their families and show them that the terror they inflict on the West will come home to roost and will be inflicted on them. Why must we sit here waiting for the New York subways to go up in flames?
Yes, sir, but what are we going to do instead of what you just said? What we're going to do is we're going to cut our nuclear arsenal. We're going to appease them just as appeasement was done in the 1930s. Everything you're saying we need to do. The administration that's going to take over is everything they're saying, they're going to go in the opposite.
The administration taking over is a quisling administration, more pacifist than George Bush at his worst. And so this is just the beginning of a long series of terror attacks against America and its allies around the world. Thank you for the call. Phone number 1-800-449-8255. As you can see, my dog is barking in the background. Even he can't take the anxiety. 1-800-449-8255. We go to New York. Anthony, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, we know to go. We got to go straight in there. We got to go in like if it was 1942 because they're dipping their foot in the water. They're testing the water. What's going to happen in this country next 2-3 years? We got to be the Knights Templar of the odd time. We got to go in there strong.
Yeah, go in where, though? Go in where?
We got to go help the Indian people. These are the people we have to help.
Well, India has a very powerful army. India has a very powerful navy. As you know, they're the only ones who took on the pirates, while our commander-in-chief was after the pirate ship. The fact of the matter is our navy is impotent. It doesn't even know how to fire a gun anymore.
We need to show...
So where are we going to go? We're going to go... Who's we? Who is we? Who's going to go in?
That's the problem.
Don't you understand that this is a result of the power vacuum in the West? Because we have a bunch of corrupt degenerates running this country. As witness the financial meltdown, we have a military meltdown, a financial meltdown. Everywhere you turn, there is no leadership. There's nothing but corruption, and there's nothing but evil. And it reflects on our military. It reflects on the financial meltdown is a result of corruption and weakness. Has anyone gone to jail for what they have done? Answer, no. Has anyone given up any of the assets for stealing the pensions of little old ladies on Wall Street? The answer is no. Because Bush is behind it. He's the commander-in-chief. He's the one who's letting the Islamic fanatics go wild all over the world. In my humble opinion. New York, Sal, you're next. Go ahead, please.
Yes, since we didn't do anything with the pirates, they're moving in on India now, and it's almost like Biden said that test for Obama, that Bush is just going to sit back and dump this in his lap.
In whose lap?
In Obama's lap.
Well, where is Obama today? Has he said anything about this? All he did was hire Clinton Eastis to run the financial world after telling the morons who elected him that he promised change. The change they got was he's a doorman for the Clinton Eastis. That's the change they got. They got nothing but a lie. So what is he going to do about the Islamic fanatics in India? The answer is probably nothing.
That's right. And he wouldn't even answer the question about appointing the old Clinton guard. into his cabin.
But I was the first one in the media to start saying he's a doorman for the Clinton administration. I've been saying it from the day I saw the appointees. And finally, the media caught on and said, okay, Mr. Obama, how come you're appointing so many so many Clintonistas when you promised change? And he ducked it. Of course he ducked it, because he's just a front man for other powers. You understand that. But let's put him aside. What is he going to say about this? He's supposed to be the great savior. He's supposed to be the great articulate leader. How come he hasn't said anything about this in India? Because what happens in India, what happens in Bombay, very much affects what happens to you in New York City, or to you in Los Angeles, or to me in San Francisco. We're all one world now, aren't we? And if we're going to let the Islamic fascists get away with this in India, they're going to do it to us here, because they smell weakness. And one thing they understand is how to exploit weakness. This is the Savage Nation phone number. 1-800-449-8255. If you care to chime in on this, give us a call. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The situation remains dramatic and a bit chaotic in Mumbai, India at this hour. Terrorists have attacked the train station, a hospital, two luxury hotels. The reports that as many as 78 people were killed, and that some of those who were taken hostage were taken hostage after they had been asked for their passports, with the hostage takers reportedly separating out the British and American hostages from the rest.
Now, you must understand that there's a population of 1 billion people in India, of which 80% are Hindu, Muslims making up about 14%, and they have continuously been at war since British-ruled India was split into independent India and Pakistan in 1947. In other words, the Muslims were given a portion of the nation of India for themselves, but apparently that's not good enough. Now they want Kashmir, they want pieces of Bombay, and of course, I don't have the answer for you at this time, but I think you can pretty much understand how this ends. I think you can pretty much figure out how this chess game ends. If you have one side that will kill innocent men, women, and children with machine guns, grenades, set them on fire, and you have another side that goes to the UN, tell me who wins. Explain it to yourself how this ends. Because if you think it's going to be limited to Bombay, then you're a moron. That's why you elected a man like Obama. Because you're a fool who thinks that you can placate fanatics. But you're going to find out the hard way how right I am. Eventually, you're going to find out exactly what world you actually live in. The police have tried to tell you the world that you live in is a dangerous place. And were it not for the men in blue, you would be in the gutter bleeding without clothing on. But you hate the police, don't you? The military has tried to tell you what a dangerous world you live in. But you left-wing fanatics think that it's our fault. That's because you are historical morons. You have no idea of history. But you, too, will understand the world we are living, the world that we live in. Very soon, when it comes home to roost in one of your nightclubs in New York City, or, God forbid, one of your subway cars in New York City, when it comes home to roost in one of your dens of iniquity, you'll come to understand the world that you live in. Houston, Texas. Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello. Yeah, I think one of the reasons why we're experiencing all this tension and that on the United States right now is that really since September 11th, not only the United States government, but also the major financial institutions in this country that have so much influence on our economic situation has really let this country down. And ultimately, the economics have resulted in a weak ability to defend ourselves militarily. And all these countries, like you just said, are really testing this country.
Let me see if I understand what you just said. You said because we are financially bankrupt, the terrorists feel that we have no capacity for a military response?
Yeah, really what's tied to the military capability of any country is the ability to fund it. Economically, we are bankrupt.
Well, you can thank George Bush for using the Bush doctrine, which was no doctrine at all. That's why we got trapped in the quagmire of Iraq for 6 years. That's why the war against Al-Qaeda, or whatever you want to call them in Afghanistan, I know they have a different name, they're called the Taliban, it's all one and the same, has gone nowhere. It's because Bush has played a patsy game with them. Never go for the throat. Always give them a slap and then run away and then say maybe we can negotiate. This is a direct result of weakness. I agree with you. And, of course, there's no solution for you and I, is there, except to wait for the bomb to go off. Bill, Chicago, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, how you doing? I was thinking that we are just too weak for this. Our military bases in Chicago are closing. They're turning them into housing for people to buy houses on the military.
That's right. Here in the Presidio of California, Dianne Feinstein's friends got the development rights. Barbara Boxer's friends have built restaurants. George Lucas has built restaurants and cafes where there were once a military base. And this has all gone on while the gays were screaming for gay marriage so that nobody else saw anything else going on in San Francisco. We have a homicide epidemic in San Francisco. We have the sellout of the Presidio in San Francisco. And they distract the most vocal element of society, the homosexuals, by promising them gay marriage so that they, and when I say they, I mean the billionaires in Congress, can continue to rob the Treasury. That's exactly what's going on. Thank you for the call. Chicago, Joe, you're on the Savage Nation.
Growing up on the streets of Chicago, there's three ways I figure we could do this. Number one, you've got to name the enemy and dehumanize them. But do that anymore, unfortunately.
I did an entire show on propaganda that was used in World War II by us, by our government. And our government employed some of the best artists, cartoonists, writers, filmmakers to demonize the Germans and to demonize the Japanese so that when our peace-loving boys went over to fight them, they were not afraid to stab them in the chest or to shoot their brains out. Because if they hesitated for 1 second, it was the American who had his guts carved out or his brain shot out. That's exactly why propaganda is necessary to win a war against an enemy.
Step number two, anybody who supports him in any way, shape, or form, treason, charges, and shoot them dead.
Oh, well, then you'd have to take out ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, and CNN, wouldn't you?
So be it, and then just kill the enemy. Those three simple steps.
Well, you would have to arrest everybody at those networks that I just mentioned because they won't even say the word Muslim or Islamic with regard to this terrorist attack in India. They're telling us they don't know who did it. It's too soon to tell. That's after the Islamic terrorist took credit for it. These idiots won't even say the word.
We need to bring back the Three Stooges and do some skits on this then.
No, it's way past the Three Stooges. It's every man for himself because there's nobody there to protect you. There is no government. We have lost the central government in America. We have government anarchy run by a group of pirates. If you think the pirates are bad in Somalia, you're right. But the pirates on Wall Street are worse.
Savage.
A string of attacks in Mumbai, India. Gunmen opening fire in the financial capital. Top state officials say at least 78 people are dead and 200 injured.
Killing at least 78 people in this operation. Local police there say that Westerners were in fact taken hostage, but the State Department says they're not aware of any U.S. casualties at this point. Nevertheless, they're still checking.
Well, of course, then it doesn't matter if it's only 80 or 100, you know, Indians and 200 taken hostage or injured. That wouldn't matter. It only matters if it's an American at a disco, I guess, because it's our blood is more important than theirs. You see, we've gone from being a superpower to becoming a stupor power in one generation. From a superpower to stupor power in one generation. Everywhere you turn, it's the same thing. It's corruption and feathering their own nest. This just came out minutes ago. We know about the attacks in India. They call it Mumbai. To me, it will always be Bombay, just so you know what we're talking about. It will always be Bombay to me, but they call it Mumbai, and I'm saying it's Bombay, so you know what we're talking about. It is probably the most Western city in India. They have now invaded a hospital. The radical Islamists have invaded a hospital, and they're killing people in a hospital. Also, the head of the anti-terrorism squad, the man who went in to fight them in one of the hotels, was killed during the operation. I'll repeat that. Unlike our leaders who hide in bunkers in Washington or in Tallahassee, sending your son out to fight the terrorists, the actual leader of the anti-terrorism squad in India, who actually succeeded in relieving and releasing some of the and having some of the hostages released, went in with commandos who stormed the Taj Hotel, and it led to the release of guests inside, but he was killed during the commando raid. That's the difference between India and the United States of America, where our commandos are led by people from bunkers using video cameras. New York City, WOR, John, you're on the Savage Nation.
I know, it's pretty messed up.
The only way to get rid of these terrorists, and it's just to basically go back 10 years, every terrorist that has been, and kill their entire family. Find, you know, DNA evidence.
Oh, that sounds good on paper. What do you mean kill their entire family? Where is their family?
Well, it should be a worldwide directive, and it shouldn't be something that's...
Look, you're first of all, what you're saying can't be done. Number two, it may not be wise to do. The Israelis used to knock down the houses of Palestinian terrorists, the families of such, and they were condemned by the world just for knocking down bricks. So how would you expect the U.S. government to go after the families of these murderers? Look, I would say that the only way to beat them is to beat them on their own turf, not wait for them to come to your house. And the way to take the war to their side is to bomb, incessantly bomb. If you don't want to use tactical nuclear weapons, then for God's sakes, use cluster bombs. Use whatever we have in our arsenal to destroy the entire region known as the provinces in western Pakistan, the so-called tribal areas. Give them 72 hours to get out of there if you have to. Set up checkpoints. See what they're taking out, see who's coming out, and then reduce the entire area to rubble. And while you're at it, you'll probably kill Osama bin Laden, by the way. You think that will happen? The answer is absolutely not. Never in a million years. And that's because half of them own half of our media through third parties. Thanks for the call. I don't think we're going to win this war. I think we've already lost this war, by the way. I think it's only a matter of time until we find out that we've actually lost the war against Islamic fascism, by the way. I think the election of Obama, to me, symbolized, what is the word I'm seeking? The election of Obama was a capitulation to Islamic fascism. It was a way of saying, we give up. We're never going to use our military against you again. Instead, we're going to use the satiate with you. We're going to use all of the freaks, the freak shows from San Francisco and the freaks from the freak shows in Washington to try and placate you. That's what we're going to be doing. And you're going to smell this weakness. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. New York, Yaakov, welcome to the Savage Nation from WOR.
Yes, hi, Dr. Savage. You said before that the only solution is to wait for the bomb to go off. The truth is that even when the bomb goes off, these idiots wouldn't do anything.
Well, no, what has Israel done when the bombs have been going off? Israel's done nothing.
Fine, but there's a difference between Israel and the...
No, let's take Israel. Rockets are flying in from Gaza, and they're sitting there saying, oy vey, Iran's about to get the bomb. So what is Israel doing? Israel sitting there could be annihilated, wiped off the map with one nuclear weapon. And all I do is hear every day, Israel this, Israel that, centrifuge this, Iran that. Why isn't Israel capable of acting? Because they're an appendage of the United States of America. Because the very same corruption that has permeated the entire structure of America, America's leadership, has also permeated Israel, if not the entire West. The entire West is permeated by corrupt and weak leaders. You know that, and I know that.
Israel's going to have to learn once and for all that they have to be the big boys for themselves.
They're going to have to learn it? I don't think they can do it. After all, Golda Meir is dead. They don't have a tough leader over there. But let's put Israel aside, because Israel's not the issue. I'm sure the Jews will be blamed for this somehow. I'm sure NPR and the American left is somehow going to blame this on Israel. That's I'm pretty sure already. They're probably working up a storyline on how it was because of Israel that the Indians were attacked. But you and I both know that this has nothing to do with Israel. It has to do with Muslim fundamentalism, which has been at war with the West for several thousand years. This fight has been ongoing. It hasn't just started. It didn't start in 1947. It didn't start in 1931. It didn't start in 1921 with the Balfour Decree. It didn't start in 1896. It started thousands of years ago when Islam set about to take over the entire world. Make no mistake about what this is. Study your history or you'll be condemned to praying on all fours. Thank you for the call. Tucson, Arizona. Clinton, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes. Mike, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I was hoping that we could... You know, if we really want to attack this issue, that we keep the hyperbole to a minimum. The gauntlet of Dresden-style firebombing and nuclear options in the Middle East, that gauntlet is locked away.
Whoa, what do you mean? Because you say so? I didn't say drop a nuclear weapon on Pakistan, did I?
No, I think.
Where did I suggest that our military consider using tactical nuclear weapons? I said in the tribal regions of western Pakistan, which is the training ground. It's the hotbed for radical Islam for the entire world. It would also teach them a lesson. It would also send a chill right up the spine of Ahmadinejad and his mullahs in Iran that they're next. The only thing that can save us is a tough approach. And the place to start is with tactical nuclear weapons in western Pakistan. That's exactly right, and I stick by that statement. Why is it off the table? Why?
Because no Western leader will do that. But what I would agree with you that Pakistan is the major challenge for the American administration.
Again, I want to reiterate what I just said. I said the tribal regions of western Pakistan. Those are the regions where the terrorists get their training and go out to the world, according to our intelligence agencies. We are also told that Osama bin Laden has been hiding there for years. If we know where their home geography is, why should we not use all of the weapons in our arsenal? You know, when I say tactical nuclear weapons, do you know what I am referring to or not?
Maybe it would help if you refine that.
Okay, I'll refine it for you. When I come back, well, I'm going to take a few other calls. I'm not talking about a hydrogen bomb. What is a tactical nuclear weapon? Does anyone out there know what a tactical nuclear weapon is? Huh? San Francisco, Ashok, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hi, Mike. I completely, 100% disagree with you about your analysis as you conjecture as to who the people are behind the killings in India, number one. Because if you have not been reading the news lately in BBC or any credible news sources, there has been a growing concern about Hindu terrorism in India right now.
Oh, right. Yes, sure. It's the Hindus who killed their own Hindus. Sure. Is that why the Deccan Mujahideen took credit for it? Because they're Hindus?
I'm sorry?
Don't give me double talk. You heard me. A group called the Deccan Mujahideen has taken responsibility for the Mumbai terrorist attacks. That doesn't seem to jive with what you just said.
You know, Michael, 4 months ago there were killings in a suburb of Bombay, and the prime suspect...
Wait, don't tell me about 4 months ago. I just said to you that the group called the Deccan Mujahideen, who happened to be Muslim, has claimed responsibility for the Mumbai terrorist attacks. So please don't try to throw mud in the water right now.
I myself a Hindu, and I'm telling you exactly what I think. If you don't want to listen...
Well, I don't care if you're Hindu or you're from Mars. I am telling you that a group has taken responsibility for it, and they're not Hindu, they're Muslim.
Well, it may have happened in the last 15 minutes when I'm not logged into the computer, but you have to know some background about what's going on.
Well, wait. Now you're going to give me a big history lesson, and I'm really impressed with your knowledge of history. But I can guarantee you that you're wrong in this case. The fact of the matter is, a group has taken responsibility for it. They are a Muslim fanatic group called the Deccan Mujahideen. It seems that the people in India know who did it, but you're sitting here telling me that you don't know who did it.
Well, you know, Michael, like I said, I've not been on the computer for 15 minutes, so I don't know, but you need to know some background. And if you're not willing to listen, there's no point. I mean, you have to listen.
Well, what is your point? Is that there are radical Hindus there as well? I'm aware of that. But they're not the group that has just killed 100 people and injured several hundred, 300-400 people. They're not the group who set the Taj Hotel on fire. We are focusing on this little-known group of Mujahideen, which everyone in the media has identified as being Islamic. So why must you throw mud on the water right now by talking about fanatics within the Hindu people?
Michael, because do you know that the three chiefs, I guess the number one, two, and three of the terrorist squad have been threatened by the Hindu right-wing people for the past couple of days, if not weeks, because of what findings they've had on the Malegaon bombings, and that's what I was referring to about 4 months ago, what happened. Because Hindus killed Muslims, and the ATS, or the anti-terror squad, had evidence as to who did it, and they happened to be Hindus. Okay, so it's not...
Well, that's according to you, not according to anybody else in the media. You're just a caller to a radio show. And so you are not a credible source. You're just a man trying to throw mud in the water. You're trying to blind the listener with your particular orientation. But the breaking news says the opposite. There has been a claim of responsibility. The group is called the Deccan Mujahideen, and they are Muslim fanatics. Should we not leave it at that? Or would you like to continue to tell us that even though they're called Mujahideen, they're probably Hindus?
Yeah, Michael, I'm not denying that people have made claims. I am not denying that. Okay? But you need to, who knows that the claims are credible? I mean, you need to be in India. I'm not.
Oh, well, you're right. It could have been Hasidic rabbis from Brooklyn who went over there disguised as Muslims. You're right. I guess it was just a school bus full of Jewish children who did it. They put on Islamic garb and screamed Islamic slogans. I guess you could blame the Jews as well, since you're blaming the Hindus for murdering Hindus.
I'm not blaming the Hindus. I'm just saying that there could be Hindu terrorists too. Okay?
It could be Martians. It could be Christian terrorists. Maybe Timothy McVeigh came back from the grave. Maybe Nixon did it. It could be Nixon with a band of people from the next world who did it as well. Thank you for the call. See, what the beauty of talk radio is that you give everybody democracy. And in doing that, you open yourself up to this kind of disinformation. And that you have to fight with the fact. The fact is, a group has taken responsibility. The group is called the Deccan Mujahideen, which is some little-known offshoot of Al-Qaeda, no doubt. They have claimed responsibility for this. The Indian government has accepted that. Everyone has accepted it, except a few fellow travelers in America with the terrorists. I'll be right back. Savage. There are reports that this is a sort of new tactic by Islamist militants. The multiple attacks on Bombay are the work of Islamist militants, according to India itself. And the Islamist militants have repeatedly struck Bombay, India's bustling modern film and financial center in the last 20 years. As you know, they blew up people on a subway in Bombay recently. And they target busy urban targets popular with foreigners and wealthy Indians because they want to cripple India's economy and they want to cripple India's international reputation. And, of course, they're throwbacks to the 9th century, and they'd like to drag the women of the world back into a full-body burqa, probably perform sexual mutilation on their body, and turn the women back into the chattel that they're used to. And that is why they go after the modern centers in India. That is not to say I am not aware of the fact that in addition to Islamist militant groups based in Pakistan or Bangladesh, and I want to pause for a minute, because if you remember the 60s, the Beatles did a concert for Bangladesh. Do you remember how long this has been going on? How long the American pothead left? The verminist left wing in America has sympathized with radical Islam. If you think that this is bad, you are correct. But if you think it only began recently, you are wrong. This has been going on for 30 or 40 years that America's rock and roll, left-wing, drugged-up maniacs have actually sided with the enemy of your daughter's future. But that's a story for another day. There are other culprits of recent attacks in India, such as Maoist rebels, separatist groups in India's remote northeast on the borders of China, separatist groups in the regions of Bangladesh and Myanmar. However, this group calls itself the Mujahideen. However, I got to tell you that in addition to the Islamists, there are Hindu extremists who have been involved in bombing attacks. Apparently not in this one. That's what the gentleman caller was trying to get across. But I did not want him to muddy the waters. This month, a senior military intelligence officer was arrested in India on suspicion of involvement in a bomb attack by Hindu extremists in Western India in September. Colonel, I will not read his name because it won't mean anything to you, but the colonel is a Hindu, and he is the first serving officer, I believe, of this fanatic element in India's army in a very long time, because the army has been a bastion of secularism since the country's independence in 1947. He is the first military officer to have been arrested on terrorism charges in recent years, and he was a Hindu. The police were recently investigating whether this man and other members of Abhinav Bharat, New India, which is a Hindu nationalist organization, were responsible for other recent bomb attacks. The New India group, Abhinav Bharat, the president of it, is the niece of the Hindu radical who assassinated Mahatma Gandhi the Indian independence leader in 1948. And I have a lot of contempt for Mahatma Gandhi, as I've said to you before. The storybook picture of Mahatma Gandhi is a little man in diapers who was a pacifist. The cartoon of Mahatma Gandhi is of a man who laid his life down for peace. One could argue that he caused more death than any other individual in the history of India. Because I want to remind you that I am an amateur student of history, but nevertheless a student of history. And even though I'm an amateur student of history, I would compare my knowledge of that area to anybody in the American media today in the major media. So when Gandhi was saying to the British, get out, well, the people said, we don't want any more colonialism. And you could say, fine, that's good. Kick the British out. But then when he said, we now want peace with our Muslim brothers, so we're going to carve up a piece of India and going to make that almost exclusively Muslim, people were then sent to that area. Or the Muslims in their long march into Pakistan were at war with Hindus along the way. And in uprooting Hindus who had been living in that area of Pakistan, that region of India which became Pakistan, I don't think you know that over 1 million people died. 1 million people, 1 million people, it is estimated, died in the violence that occurred after Pakistan was created by the peace-loving man who wore a diaper, Mahatma Gandhi. And so unless you understand that sometimes the road to hell is paved with good intentions, in fact, very often the road to hell is paved with good intentions, then you do-gooders may come to understand that the road you are on is not a road to a land of roses. It may be a road to the exact place you don't want to go. Do you understand that? The bottom line is this. Weakness begets violence. Strength begets a self-defense. The only way to defend ourselves against these fanatic Islamists is with strength. Not with hand-wringing, not with the United Nations, but with a strong and swift attack on the tribal regions of Western Pakistan. Now, I will not quibble with you as to whether they should be with nuclear, that is, tactical nuclear weapons, which are limited in their scope and limited in their power, or with cluster bombs, or with weapons I'm not even aware of. But there's no question that entire region needs to be annihilated and stripped off the earth.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Take up the white man's burden, send forth the best you breed. Go bind your sons to exile to serve your captive's need. To wait in heavy harness on fluttered folk and wild, your new-caught sullen peoples have devil and have child. Take up the white man's burden, in patience to abide, to veil the threat of terror and check the show of pride. By open speech and simple, 100 times made plain, to seek another's profit and work another's gain. Yes, take up the white man's burden, the savage wars of peace. Fill full the mouth of famine and bid the sickness cease. And when your goal is nearest, the end for others sought, watch sloth and heathen folly bring all your hope to naught. Take up the white man's burden, no tawdry rule of kings, but toil of serf and sweeper, the tale of common things. The ports ye shall not enter, the roads you shall not tread, go make them with your living and mark them with your dead. Take up the white man's burden and reap his old reward. The blame of those you better, the hate of those you guard. The cry of hosts you humor, ah, slowly toward the light. Why brought ye us from bondage, our loved Egyptian night? Take up the white man's burden, you dare not stoop to less, nor call too loud on freedom to cloak your weariness. By all you cry or whisper, by all you leave or do, the silent, sullen peoples shall weigh your gods and you. Take up the white man's burden, have done with childish days, the lightly proffered laurel, the easy, ungrudged praise. Comes now to search your manhood through all the thankless years, cold-edged with dear-bought wisdom, the judgment of your peers. The White Man's Burden, 1899, written by Rudyard Kipling, to commemorate, or let us say to sorrowfully state about his opinion, the opinion about the United States and the Philippine Islands. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Does it have an appropriateness to today? I have no idea. I just thought I would read you The White Man's Burden simply as an educational exercise in archaic poetry. Of course, we do not read Rudyard Kipling anymore. He is seen as a yellow journalist and a jingoist by the enlightened ones who teach your children more enlightened things, such as Johnny Has Two Daddies or Sally Has Two Mommies, or instead of teaching your child science or rocketry, they teach him how to put a condom on a cucumber. And, of course, that is why I'm reading this archaic poem as a throwback to times past on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. We're talking, of course, about the terrible situation going on in India right now, Bombay being under siege by Muslim fanatics. This is all up on michaelsavage.com and many other websites, but I have devoted almost the entire website to as many stories as we can gather in the last 30 minutes. Muslim fanatics attack innocent Indians and Americans, bloodbath from the BBC, my headline. Video, terrorists coordinate attacks across Bombay. They took over hotels. They are now they were in a hospital killing people. They have arrested four suspects killed, nine arrested. The anti-terrorism squad's chief was killed in Bombay. The group calling itself the Deccan Mujahideen has claimed responsibility for the assaults on the Taj, Trident hotels and other places. If you'd like to read about the tactic itself to attack a busy modern urban center, popular with foreigners and wealthy Indians, and why these throwbacks are doing that, you can read that again, linked up from sources around the world on michaelsavage.com. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. I think that at this point, the best thing for me to do would be to take calls. But before we leave this hour, I am going to try to speak with you for a short period of time, not only about that troublemaker who caused over a million deaths, Mahatma Gandhi, who was glorified by the left along the lines of a saint, when in fact he was anything but a saint. According to his daughter and his wife, he was a monster. And the popular image, the cartoon image of Gandhi, is one of a pacifist when, in fact, as I said to you earlier, his pacifism led to over a million deaths. That is not to say that India did not need to be made independent of British rule, which, of course, was long in coming and was good for the most part for most of the people. Just look at India today without Britain. They've done quite well. But the important thing to look at here is this source of a terror between largely Hindu India and the Muslims of Pakistan and elsewhere, and that is the region known as Kashmir. Kashmir is largely Hindu in population. I think it's 80% Hindu. But the Muslims, of course, are not happy with just getting Pakistan. They also want this very wealthy area of India called Kashmir. Jammu and Kashmir, which is really on the border with Russia. If you look at the map, you will see that Kashmir borders Tibet, China, Russia, and Afghanistan. It's a very important area. It's north of the Punjabi area, or the Punjab states of India, for those of you who know a little bit about India and the areas that we're talking about. Kashmir is a very important area strategically, again, because it is at the crossroads of China, Tibet, Russia, and Afghanistan. So that's number one. But it is also very rich in natural resources, and of course that's why it's being fought over. If you cut away at the core of religious strife, it's usually over territory. And if you cut away at the territories that are in dispute, they're usually very rich territories. In other words, it's always about money. No matter which way you skin the cat, everything is always about money. 1-800-449-8255. Again, I want to reiterate to you, many of you ignoramuses, assume that there was always a Pakistan, as you assume there was always a West Bank. But in fact, Pakistan came into being in 1947. It did not exist before that. The border between India and Pakistan was, in essence, arbitrarily created. Pakistan came into being with two non-contiguous enclaves, East Pakistan, known as Bangladesh, and West Pakistan, separated geographically by India. India was formed out of the majority Hindu regions of the colony of Britain, and Pakistan from the majority Muslim areas. The idea here was to separate the warring Hindus and Indians and have peace once and for all. But during the massive population exchanges that occurred between the two newly formed states in the months immediately following partition, I told you about 1 million people died. And that's an important thing for you to understand, is that the road to you-know-where is often paved with good intentions. But now we have another problem. Never mind the massive violence and slaughter that occurred on both sides of the border during the creation of Pakistan. What is important is that this warfare has not ended to this day, nor will it end in your lifetime. Americans, though, are so naive that they think all will be well if only Obama lifts up his magic wand and waves it, and suddenly the masses of Hindus and the masses of Indians will stop killing each other. This is not only political naivete, it is the utmost fantasy. But then again, let's not talk about Obama. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about today. Let's talk about the bombings in Bombay. Let's talk about the new terror threat about the, against the New York subways, and whether or not you think there is a connection, because I do. For the government of America to suddenly come up out of nowhere, out of the blue, and say they have unconfirmed chatter and this and that, that New York subways might have, could have been, might be, would be, might possibly be targeted by Islamic terrorists in New York City on the very day that targets in India, in Bombay, a modern center, are attacked, indicates to me that the radical Islamists have waited for the election to end. They smell weakness in the financial debacle going on in the world markets, notably in America. They smell total corruption and weakness in the Western leadership. They smell weakness in Obama, who promised the world and is delivering nothing but used a Clintonista salesman. And they feel that this is their moment to destabilize the entire world. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I believe that this is an orchestrated worldwide attempt to destabilize the entire world by Al-Qaeda. They've been waiting for the election to be over. All of us predicted that something would occur soon after the election, and the attacks in Bombay, which are extremely well coordinated, which are ongoing, is now being linked in a way by me, perhaps others, I don't know. I don't speak to anyone in the so-called intelligence community. But a story has just come up on Drudge, where it says there was a plan to bomb Penn Station in New York, and there are men with machine guns, as I speak, in Penn Station and in the subways in America. It's long overdue. I don't know about you. I would like to see more police with submachine guns in America rather than less, because I am a conservative. I am not a liberal. I live in the real world. There's something about police with German shepherds and machine guns that gives me a sense of confidence. I don't know about you. I realize you potheads want to go off to dye your hair green or whatever and then go to a club and poison your bodies and your minds. But we don't really care what you think. Intelligence chiefs were expecting Al-Qaeda spectacular. Out minutes ago, this is coming up on Times Online, linked up on Michael Savage in a moment. Western intelligence services have been expecting an Al-Qaeda spectacular terrorist attack in this crucial period. Here we go. Between the end of Bush's administration and the succession of Hussein Obama. Signals intelligence chatter in recent weeks indicated that OBL and his terrorist organization might be plotting an attack, quote, to grab the headlines before Obama takes over in the White House on January 20th. Well, we all know that there's a relationship between the two things, and I saw this coming. I didn't need to read it, but here it goes. British security and intelligence sources said there have been increasing concern, particularly in the U.S., that a terrorist spectacular was on the cards. The multiple attacks on Westerners in Bombay last night showed all the signs of an Al-Qaeda strategy, again, Muslims, picking on vulnerable Western soft targets, but not in a country where there would be maximum security. The attacks on Western targets in Bali, and then they go on. I don't want to read you the whole story. But here's an important part for those of you who like to travel in the third world. The key to this latest attack was the search by the armed Muslim terrorists for American and British passport holders. With a reported 40 Britons held hostage, the Muslim terrorists have the upper hand. The counter-terrorist sources said targeting Bombay's most luxurious hotels and a crowded railway station are all the hallmarks of an Al-Qaeda operation. And, of course, that's why we have been reporting it as such, rather than permitting a caller to throw mud on the water and say it was done by Hindus themselves. Bombay has been targeted before, if you remember, when 180 people were killed during a bomb attack on the railway station in 2006. And there were no hostages then. So now that there are hostages, it changes the picture entirely. This is said to be the most coordinated terrorist operation, by the way, since the targeting of the Twin Towers in New York in 01. And I want to pause right here. That is why you're excited. That's why you're tuning one station to another. That's why you don't want to hear me giving out a turkey recipe or talking about a baster or tell your favorite Thanksgiving stories. That's why I'm doing this, this, and only this today. It's because in my blood, I knew that this was the most coordinated terrorist attack since the Twin Towers came down in New York in 01. This is something gigantic. This is something global. And the fact of the matter is Al-Qaeda is on the move. We don't know where they're going to strike next. And it's very important that we remain vigilant and that we not panic and that we keep our government's feet to the fire. And we make these deadbeat, degenerate, corrupt bums who have destroyed our financial center use our military the way it was intended to be used. Certainly the New York police are on the move in the way they should be moved. They're in the subways, they're in Penn Station. But thus far, the U.S. military doesn't seem to have gotten the message so far as we know. There's been no movement whatsoever anywhere on earth because, as you well know, George Bush is not only a lame duck president. We'll leave it at that. We'll just leave it at that. I'll open it up to you. San Francisco Gore, you're on the Savage Nation from KNEW. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. This is Gore. And I used to live in Mumbai where this is things going on, at least 2,000 meters away from that. And I know a lot of things about that, please. When I'm watching this on TV right now on my Indian news channel, I'm crying the same way I cried on 9/11.
I understand. I understand because it is the 9/11 of India.
It is.
It is the 9/11 of India. Innocent people have had their lives wiped out by Muslim fanatics once again. No amount of territory, no amount of placating will ever stop them. I want to repeat again, the Islamist has been at war with the rest of the world for well over 1,000 years. They did not start with a grievance over Israel. They did not start with a grievance over Kashmir. They started with a grievance going back to the 7th century itself. There is a rule that they follow, which is the infidel must be converted or killed. That is how the fanatic Islamist sees the world, Mr. Gore. Do you agree with me or don't you?
I do 100% agree with you, and every time I agree with you, I'm a long-time listener.
Well, I'm glad that I do have a multi-ethnic, multi-racial audience for the show, and there's a reason for it. And the reason is that I'm as fair as you're going to find in the media. And I do understand history, and I do understand a large sweep of history. And unfortunately, I don't see a very good outcome for this situation. I wish I could come up with a simple, clear solution. Because if I could do it, others could do it, and it would have been done already. I'm afraid we're going to have to suffer greatly before anything real is done. I'm afraid many 9/11s will have to occur at once in America before this government is forced to act. And I don't want to go there right now, but thank you very much for the call, my friend. 1-800-449-8255. Detroit, Michigan. Joe, you're on the Savage Nation.
I just wanted to call in and pretty much say that what we can do as far as fighting the terrorists right now, I don't think there's anything we can do other than sit back and watch this nation become the ultimate infidels and just continue to build ourselves as the poster children for the next terrorist attack, which I think may just in fact be...
Right. Take a look at San Francisco. The newspaper has been in overdrive for 2 months. 3 months now about gay marriage. There's no other topic. We have a homicide epidemic in San Francisco where over 100 people have been mercilessly slaughtered on the streets. And you have a mayor who's out to lunch, a police chief who's out to lunch, a government that's out to lunch, obsessed only with gay marriage. You have a state that's bankrupt. You have a governor, a so-called Republican, who's obsessed only with gay marriage. Is it any wonder that they're attacking us?
Savage.
Over there, over there. Send the word over there. That the Yanks are coming, the Yanks are coming. The drums rum coming everywhere. So prepare, say a prayer.
Yeah, now the cranks are coming instead of the Yanks are coming. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Well, here we have the first official statement from the great one. Obama has spoken from his apartment house in Chicago, and he has condemned the attacks in Bombay in language that, of course, would be appropriate for a college town, something that a college president might say. And this came through one of his spokesmouths. Quote, President-elect Obama strongly condemns today's terrorist attacks in Mumbai, and his thoughts and prayers are with the victims. Their families and the people of India, said Brooke Anderson, chief spokesmouth for the Obama transition team, in a state mouth released this evening. I think they went on. Let's see. Anderson continued, quote, these coordinated attacks on innocent civilians demonstrates the grave and urgent threat of terrorism, close quote. As you'll notice, it was denuded of any reference to radical Islam or Muslims in any way. Anderson, the spokesmouth for Obama, went on, quote, the United States must continue to strengthen our partnerships with India and nations around, blah, blah. We stand with the people of India, whose democracy will prove far more resilient than the hateful ideology that led to these attacks. That is so collegey. But I would expect nothing less from the very, very bright girls who work around Barack Hussein Obama. Nothing inflammatory, nothing directly connecting the attacks to radical Islam. You wouldn't want to put reality in front of the American people. Instead, you want to give them another turkey. New York City, 1-800-449-8255. Ananda, New York, welcome to the Savage Nation from WOR. Go ahead, please. Your point, please.
Okay. Actually, my question is to you, Dr. Savage. I want to know that what we should be doing as a nation of India. What should it be done? I mean, I know that you're talking...
Well, wait a minute. You said, what should India do? India has already done it. They sent in their anti-terrorism squads. In fact, the leader of the anti-terrorism squad was killed rescuing the hostages. India didn't call up the UN to ask what to do. They sent in the anti-terrorism squad and rescued hostages. So India can act. Apparently, we can't act. We have to go to the rule book to see what to do.
No, but I mean, you know, we're talking about emotions, right? You mentioned that, oh...
Well, what do you mean we're talking about emotions? No, we're talking about dead people.
Yeah, but all this, you know, all this violent stuff that you're saying, we should be going attacking, et cetera, et cetera. Excuse me. Et cetera.
Oh, so now I'm the violent one, not the Muslim fanatics. I'm the violent one.
No, absolutely not. I'm totally with you because I'm, you know, I feel I'm the victim here as well because I'm from India. And I have family there. I have friends.
But the whole world is victimized by radical Islam. The entire world is being held hostage by radical Muslims. I mean, let's clear the air here. We're all hostages of radical Islam, sitting here waiting for them to blow off something here or there and saying, well, who can we bomb? Who can we attack? We don't know who did it. What do you mean we don't know who did it? They know damn well where these people train and where they get their weaponry from. They don't get the weaponry from the street. They are financed from higher sources. They are trained at the highest level of government. The money is coming either from Saudi Arabian sources or from Iranian sources. Make no mistake about it. Those are the world centers of anti-Westernism.
I know. I'm totally agreeing with all you're saying. I'm a long-time listener.
I cannot stand hearing the wise people telling me we don't know who did this. They're a breakaway group, a splinter group. A thing like this doesn't happen unless there was coordination and training from very high sources. It also takes a lot of money. It takes a phenomenal amount of money. And these so-called terrorists have been funded by the world centers of terrorism, which are pockets of Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia, with one hand, is Western, and with the other hand is Islamist. Saudi Arabia has played the old game that has been known to the Bedouins since the sands have been shifting in the Sahara. And those games consist of deceiving your enemy by pretending you're his friend, and then pretending your enemy's your enemy friend. And then back and forth you go until you destroy the enemy by deceiving him like a cobra. And that is what Saudi Arabia has been doing since the sands have been moving in the Sahara, as I have said to you. What about Iran? Iran has tried to destabilize the West ever since Ahmadinejad took over that country. Iran is behind the roadside bombs in Iraq. Iran is behind some of the terrorism in Afghanistan. So why should we not use our common sense and say Iran is notably behind this movement in India as well? Where do you think they're getting their money and their training from?
You please try your call again.
Okay, they hung up already. Call came from a cave somewhere in Saudi Arabia. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. I don't even know if I'm... Am I connected here? I just got a... Oh, great. That's terrific. San Francisco, Jeff from KNEW. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, why don't we send over a bunch of diversity training teachers like Pelosi and Feinstein?
You know, that's a good idea. Maybe Pelosi can go over and give diversity training to the radical Islamists and teach them what bad boys they've been. You know, when the ones who were caught, maybe instead of executing them in a public square and cutting off their genitals and hanging them from a lamppost and wrapping them in pigskin, perhaps instead they should be exposed to diversity training.
But, you know, but you cut that off, then what good are the 73 virgins, right?
I don't know how it operates in the next world. I still cannot understand that one. Because apparently if you blow yourself up into a million pieces, the parts are gone anyway. What?
Well, I don't understand why, if they want it in the next world, why don't they have it now?
No, I'm asking a simple question. Name one other belief system in the history of humanity that is built of a system in the any other belief system in the history of mankind that is built upon the world. You know? Is there another a belief system that equals that? Portland, Oregon. Aaron, you're on the Savage Nation.
I don't think there is anything that that equals that. But you know, I'm an OIF veteran. I spent 18 months over there. I fought the little farmer that was trying to resist, and then the coordinated guys. And there's no way that the coordinated guys just got together one day and decided, okay, you know, Mustafa, you're going to go over there, and you're going to go over there, and then we're going to shoot at them. They had some sort of higher training, and they need to be hunted down wherever they are and taken care of.
So what you said you fought where, Aaron?
I fought pretty much all over, but mostly western Baghdad, just south of Sagar City.
All right. So you say that common sense would dictate that these attacks in India were carried out certainly not by a group of ragtag radical Islamists, but by well-trained, well-coordinated, well-financed terrorists who've been training and rehearsing this for a long period of time. And they have been receiving not only training, but tons of money from some other sources. And if we follow the logic, the sources would come either from Iran, Saudi Arabia, and or Pakistan. Would you agree with that assessment?
I would totally agree. They were a little too smart to be, you know, people who were supposedly living in squalor before we showed up.
So you're talking about in Iraq, but would you apply the same observation to what went on in India today?
Oh, definitely, definitely. That's not something, like I said, where a bunch of guys just sit together and decide this is what we're going to do. And then to have a heightened threat, you know, across the rest of the Western world.
Right, right. This is a global threat against the West, coming out of Central Command headquarters, coming from Al-Qaeda Central Command, and we're being caught with our pants down during a financial meltdown. Aaron, let me send you a couple of gifts for having served the American people. I really want to send you a copy of Psychological Nudity so you have it for free for the holidays. I want to send you a free Savage Nation baseball cap and a mug, a coffee mug, so every time you drink some coffee in the morning, you can snicker at the slogan which says liberalism is a mental disorder.
Outstanding. Thank you.
Stay on the line, though, so that you get those free gifts going out to you. It's the least I could do is send him a few tokens of my real appreciation. Thank God for guys like Aaron that we can have freedom of speech. But that, of course, is threatened today in America, not by Al-Qaeda, but by Nancy Pelosi and Obama. They, in essence, are the enemy within who want to destroy your right to listen to who you want to listen to in America. They want to take the First Amendment and tear it up and rip it up and throw it away. So I'll ask you if we are facing enemies only external, or are we facing threats to our own Constitution from within? I'll let you figure that out. 1-800-449-8255, James in San Francisco. KNEW, go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I want to ask you, when are people going to wake up and see what's going on? What's it going to take here?
Now, when you say here, you mean San Francisco?
San Francisco. I'm a young white male, and I feel like I'm living in the jungle.
You are living in a jungle book. You're living in the most insane city in the history of the world, a city without any sense and without a soul, except in small pockets of the city. Last night, I got to tell you and everyone else, James, I was joking about having gone to a mall, and I was upset with the crack music that was being played. I went to hear some Bing Crosby, something nice, soothing, Christmas shopping music, and all I heard was maniac crack music in the mall, and I complained about it. So after the show yesterday, I went over to Justin Herman Plaza in San Francisco, figuring I'd look at the ice skating rink. You know what I'm talking about, the ice skating rink that they put in down there?
Yeah, the outdoor rink.
All right, so I go to the outdoor rink after the radio show. I'm wearing an overcoat, my new black fedora. And lo and behold, instead of ice skating music, what do I hear? Crack music on ice. And there I see little Chinese girls and boys and others ice skating to crack music, not to European music, not to anything soothing, not to anything that is sane, but crack music once again. That is what's going on in San Francisco. So I really, to be honest with you, went up to North Beach, which to me is a pocket of civility because it's the old Italian district. You know where that is, don't you?
Yeah, I work close to there at night.
Well, the reason I go to North Beach is because it's one of the last bastions of European civilization in the whole city. And I sat and had dinner with my friend Lorenzo at the North Beach restaurant for over 2 hours. And truthfully, I felt calm and sane because he and I both understand what's going on in this world. And there aren't too many people left in this universe who know what's going on, particularly in France and Psycho. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Music from Crackton on the Savage Nation, from Bing Crosby to crack music in one generation. Even on the ice skating rink, crack music. Story just came out, Al-Qaeda's targeting Amtrak Northeast Corridor. That's why there are feds armed with M16s on patrol in Penn Station. Apparently our wonderful peace-loving friends, the practitioners of the religion of peace, had a plan to cripple Amtrak Northeast Corridor service between Boston and Washington by hitting Penn Station, also affecting Long Island. And that is why all of you peace-loving Americans living in the New York area will be seeing officers with machine guns for the foreseeable future. Apparently what's going on in Bombay is not an isolated terrorist incident, but it is a worldwide attempt to destabilize our way, to destroy our way of life and destabilize our government and our financial center. Plan to bomb Penn Station to destabilize the Northeast Corridor. The intelligence chiefs, so-called, who have been silent for a while, are suddenly active again. I guess they've not gone home for their turkey dinner. But here we are. What's going on in India apparently is not disconnected from the threats in New York and elsewhere. This is the Savage Nation. You can call us at 1-800-449-8255 on michaelsavage.com. I've had the team put up every story that I feel is useful for you on this terror attack in Bombay so that you can learn for yourself who's doing it, what's at stake, and what you might want to be doing to protect yourself in the future. 1-800-449-8255, WIND in Chicago. Bob, you're up. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I thank you. You're going to be one of the people I'm thankful for tomorrow at Thanksgiving dinner. You're the sole voice that understands the language of the terrorists. That's violence. That's the only thing they understand. And justice has to be swift and certain. And that's the only thing that these people understand. There's no talk.
Yeah, well, we know that, and Bush knew that after 9/11, but he was destroyed by the American media, and the vermin in the American media just elected a pacifist. So I think the idea of swift, strong action is over for a while. In fact, Obama's spokesmouth just came out with a college-level response to what went on in India, something that you'd expect a college president to say. Instead of tough language, we got mealy-mouthed double talk.
We don't need tough language. We need tough action. After it's done.
I used to be a real fan of the Military History Channel. I used to watch it almost every night. I stopped watching it. I am sick and tired of hearing about weaponry that we have that is not being used. I'm sick and tired of the glorification of weapon systems when we have leadership that is incapable or unwilling to use the weapon systems. And so I've stopped watching, for example, the Military History Channel. It actually makes me angry to see that it's only about money. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call. James, San Francisco, welcome to the Savage Nation. From KNEW, go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr.
James.
Yes. Former Marine and a law enforcement here in Northern California, it's striking to me that we're going to have the same tactics that we do take on the war on drugs as we're going to implement on the war on terror. It's going to be costly, never-ending. We have all the tactics as a law enforcement officer and as a former Marine. We have all this capability to go out and do what needs to be done, but we will be held in, and America's youth will be the ones to pay the price in the long run.
I agree with you. It's about leadership and the lack thereof. We have no leadership in the military, or very little leadership in the military, and I don't have to tell you what's gone on in police departments in America. 80% of the guys in the department are guys like you, and the 20% of the bureaucrats who run it are usually the perverts and the political appointees who deter you from your very job. And in fact, if you do your very job, it's the perverts in the police department at the top who will put you on trial the way Bush put the U.S. Marines on trial for doing their job in Iraq. I understand how this works. Unfortunately, politicians have always been less than desirable. And I think we got a real bad shake, not only with Bush, but after Bush. We've seen nothing yet. If Bush's successor, Obama, is going to follow the path that he laid out today after these terrible attacks in Bombay with a college rhetoric about we must support democracy in India without naming who did it, without once saying Islamic terrorism, without talking tough about what we're going to do. I think we're going to see a lot more Bombays rather than a lot fewer. I'm sure you agree with me, James.
Yes, Dr. Savage, and it's going to be the response of let's hold hands across the Golden Gate Bridge and condemn when the person that's holding hands is going to all of a sudden shred his clothes and Allah Akbar.
I hear you. You know what's going on because you've been there. I'm sure that many in your department don't know what you're talking about. In fact, I'm sure the leadership in your department would consider you a fanatic who's dangerous, so I would suggest that you limit your opinions to talk radio and don't share it with anyone in the locker room, or you're liable to find yourself out of a job. Replaced, no doubt, by a radical feminist or a pervert. James, stay on the line. I'm sending you a free copy for the holidays of Psychological Nudity, available only on michaelsavage.com, and the sale ends December 1, which is Monday. The sale prices end Monday. I suggest you make a move on it over the next few days. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. michaelsavage.com is the website. Is this related to the pirates or not? Some think yes. Donna in Rhode Island, go ahead, please, from WPRO. What's on your mind?
Michael.
Quickly, we have 30 seconds.
I'm sorry, there's a big delay. I can hardly hear you. I think you were talking last week about the Somali pirates. I've been doing some research on them, and it turns out that a lot of that money that they get from ransom goes to the madrasas and also goes towards funding, buying guns.
I know, and George Bush did nothing about the pirates, but the Indian Navy had to take down a mothership. The U.S. Navy is still consulting its manual on how to fire on a rubber boat.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, we're talking about the Al-Qaeda-like attack in India, in Bombay. As you know, hotel, railway station, a hospital has been attacked. We don't know how many were killed in cold blood in a hospital. But here's a late report from someone who was taken hostage and released. He was from Italy. A young gunman, age 22 or 23, ushered 30 or 40 people from the restaurant into a stairway and ordered everyone to put up their hands. He said the gunman spoke in Hindi or Urdu. He then said they were talking about British and Americans specifically. There was an Italian guy who, you know, they said, where are you from? And he said he's from Italy, and they said, fine, and they left him alone. And I thought, fine, they're going to shoot me if they ask me anything, and thank God they didn't. So I guess this will give the liberals fodder to blame America for the slaughter in Bombay. No doubt they'll blame anybody except the radical Islamists for what they've been doing for well over 1,000 years. Since May, a militant group called itself the Indian Mujahideen has taken credit for a string of blasts that killed more than 130 people. This has been going on for a very long time. The fact of the matter is India has been racked by bomb attacks in the past 3 years, which police know is coming from Muslim militants intent on destabilizing this largely Hindu country. Nearly 700 people have died. And yet Obama gave a statement through a spokesmouth that was just double talk, worthy of a college president. 1-800-449-8255. If you care to comment on any of this, you can call me at michaelsavage.com. I will continue to give out copies of my book, Psychological Nudity, for the holiday if you get on the show. Chicago, Andrew, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage. This is an honor and privilege to speak to you once again. I just wanted to point out how most Americans don't even want to hear about this, and they want to keep their eyes closed to the things that are happening around us. And being from Chicago, I deal with a lot of different people from all over the world, and they all say, oh, you must be so excited that Obama is president. But they don't understand that all these things that are happening in the world are all around us. People just don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to see the truth.
Well, it's been true from the beginning of time that the average person doesn't have time for world events and could care less about something that happens far away. The reason I'm excited about this in Bombay is because it is directly related to us here in America. The threats against the New York subway system, Penn Station, the Northeast Corridor, is related to these terrorist bombings in Bombay. Everybody knows that who has any semblance of a knowledge of what's going on. And this is a coordinated worldwide series of attacks aimed at destabilizing our country. You understand that very well, Andrew. Stay on the line. Free copy of Psychological Nudity going out to you. Jimmy, San Francisco, KDW, you're next up. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I spent 9 months in Baghdad running missions back and forth, and I'm telling you right now, the only way you can deal with these animals is violence of action. I mean, you need to kick in the doors, and you need to shoot them, because I'm going to tell you right now, when the strong American shows himself, they back down. And you need to do it with extreme prejudice and extreme force.
But, Jimmy, you knew that when you were there. The military did that in the beginning, and then Bush got destroyed by the left, the American leftist press, who blamed him for torture and everything under the sun, when in fact we understand it was not real torture compared to what real torture is. And now that Obama has canceled the appointment of somebody in the national security team who, in fact, was tough on terrorists, we're going to have some school mom like a Jane Harmon along the lines of somebody appropriate for a Nancy Pelosi running national security so that they could possibly deprive the terrorist of a cup of tea in an attempt to get information out of them. That is why we're going to have many, many, many problems on this rocky road that's facing us, Jimmy. You know that because you've been there. You know what terror is, and you know the terrorists will only respond to greater terror. The British knew that in the 19th century. The British had a rule. If they are terrorists, then you treat them with greater terror, and they will respect you. If you show any sign of weakness, they'll walk all over you. Isn't that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm a veteran of Afghanistan. I was there in OEF-1 with the Rangers, and then just recently I got back in June with the Special Forces. I'm actually out here in California, and I'll tell you what, the violence of action is the only thing they understand. And if you kick in their door,
you're not actually calling me from San Francisco, are you?
Michael, I'm actually up the road. I have to tell you a story. Not off the story, but you actually got me a drink one time in the marina.
How did that happen?
Oh, well, I was down there. I was at a wedding in the Presidio, and I went there in my Class A's, and I ended up showing up down with all my friends after the wedding party, and I was down there off of Lombard, and I believe there was a bar down there, and I was in my Class A's, and I believe that it was you that said, hey, whatever he wants. He said to the bartender. I looked over and he said, hey, I'm in the back. But my wife grabbed me and pulled me out the door, and I was like, you know what? I recognize that guy. Now, you could correct me if I'm wrong, please.
I don't know. Look, I'm well known in certain bars around San Francisco. I don't know if it was me, whoever it was. He's a good Samaritan, Jimmy. But God bless you, because if it was not for men like you with the guts that you have, we'd all be on our hands and knees in America. In groups such as those that have been attacking me directly on this radio show for a long period of time, have one goal in mind. And that is to convert us or kill us, Jimmy. Thank God there are men like you. Let me send you a complete package. My Christmas gift to you, Jimmy. Psychological nudity, a free hat, a free cup. God bless you and God bless America. 1-800-449-8255, phone number. MichaelSavage.com website. Any topic, truly, I don't think you want to talk about anything except this topic. Pennsylvania, Bob, go ahead quickly. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's an honor. What a coincidence that just after a socialist takes office, we see an immediate police presence in our major cities. And luckily, we still have our guns. So when you tell your story, or when they say the news about the Italians saying one man ushered them in, you know, applause.
No, I understand we still have our guns, and if ever we wanted them more than now, I don't know when that would have been. I think every American who is sane of mind and without a criminal background should know how to use a gun. I think that we are the backbone of America, and I think ultimately we're going to have to defend ourselves if mayhem breaks out in this country. I do not believe the central government of this country is strong enough to protect us. If, God forbid, they should destabilize this country, it's going to be each man and each family for themselves.
Do it in L.A. when the hurricane, they couldn't defend us. And, Michael, my son is 16 years old. He turns off his headbanging music when you come on, and he listens to you all the time.
The wonderful music from Crackton. That is in every mall and every ice skating rink. No more Bach, no more Chopin. All the dead white males are gone, and replacing them are the boys from Crackton. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. Chicago, Patrick, quickly, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
I disagree with you. President Bush done a lot of things wrong. I'll be the first to admit it. But the war on terror, he fought a good war. Number one, we haven't been attacked since 9/11. I agree with what you say, though, is that he did back down in some ways, but in a lot of ways he didn't.
No, I agree. In the beginning, he did the right thing. He had the right idea. He did take them on. He had the guts to do it and say it, and he went after them with everything we had, and he showed great constraint. But somewhere along the way, the vermin in the media, the radical left in the media who elected Obama, started to accuse Bush of things he was not doing. They started to attack Bush and Cheney simply for interrogating the enemy. And they said that they were using torture when you and I both know what real torture is. Real torture is what those vermin do to people they capture. That is what real torture is. Putting panties on their head and having dogs bark at them, depriving them of food and water, or dunking their heads in water is not torture. It is sane. It is the only method to get information out of them. And that is why we're liable to have bombs going off in America rather than light bulbs. I'll be right back. Savage. Ken Timmerman from Newsmax.com joins us today to talk about Iran's involvement and what we know. Ken Timmerman, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Michael, for having me on.
Give us some background on your article.
Well, Michael, this is something that I've been looking into for many years, in fact, since the day of 9/11, September 11th, 2001. And I tried to summarize my investigations in a rather, you know, short article at Newsmax.com, just about 2,000 words, to give the outline so readers can understand and our listeners can understand that the Islamic Republic of Iran had a direct material involvement in the September 11th attacks. This is not speculation. It's not a matter of intelligence even. There are eyewitnesses and there's hard evidence behind this. Some of the evidence was, in fact, reviewed at the very last moment by the 9/11 Commission, and that's, in fact, how I start off the article, is looking at what the 9/11 Commission found and their ultimate recommendation, which was that the United States government should further investigate the connection of Iran to the 9/11 attacks. And, of course, they never did.
Well, even the 9/11 Commission, the whitewashers, saw the connection. Why has nothing been done?
You know, that is a great mystery. The 9/11 Commission laid out some basic facts. They pointed out, for example, that 8 to 10 of the so-called muscle hijackers, these are the guys who took over the planes so the Al-Qaeda pilots could fly them into their targets, had transited through Iran on their way into Afghanistan and out of Afghanistan. Now, that's a very significant fact because you just don't go into Iran as a tourist, right? It's a totalitarian country. They actually check their borders, unlike some countries. If you come in with a Saudi passport or a Yemeni passport or another passport from that region, they're going to want to know who you are. So it's not something that happens accidentally. To find that 8 to 10 of the muscle hijackers were going in and out of Iran before the September 11th attacks is significant. It means that the Iranian government knew what was going on. Second thing they found out was that on those flights bringing in the muscle hijackers, the future hijackers were accompanied by, quote, a senior Hezbollah operative. This is from the 9/11 Commission report. Well, I'm able to identify, and this is in my earlier book, Countdown to Crisis, The Coming Nuclear Showdown with Iran, the identity of that senior Hezbollah operative. He was Imad Fayez Mugniyeh, the man who was assassinated in February of this year in Damascus, Syria. He was Iran's top terrorist, their top international terrorist operative. He was accompanying the Al-Qaeda hijackers into and out of Iran. This is an absolutely, really, it's a blockbuster revelation. It was in the 9/11 Commission report, not his name, but the fact that the senior Hezbollah operative was there. I've had it confirmed by several members of the Commission and the staff. There's absolutely no doubt about this whatsoever. It's an incredibly significant fact.
What kind of evidence are we talking about, Iran being involved in 9/11?
Well, the proof is quite extensive, Michael, and it comes from eyewitnesses, on the one hand, individuals who have defected since 9/11, in fact, including one individual who defected before 9/11 and warned the CIA what was going to happen. They dismissed his information. That's a scandal in and of itself. But it also comes from intercepts of communications of Al-Qaeda, communications from Iranian government communications. These are the things the 9/11 Commission was able to look at that I, as a reporter, was not able to access. But you know, we were able to see from the notes and from discussions with 9/11 Commission staff the kind of intercepts and intelligence information that they had, in addition to the things that I was able to gather privately.
Well, why don't we hear about this?
I'm still trying to figure this out. I believe that one reason the CIA doesn't want this information to become public is because they dropped the ball. There's a story that I tell in Countdown to Crisis, which is devastating, really. There was an Iranian defector who came in July of 2001, walked into the U.S. Embassy in Baku, Azerbaijan, and warned the CIA there was going to be a massive terrorist attack on the United States of America. It was going to be carried out by the Islamic Republic of Iran, but not directly, by using Arab surrogates. And he gave the date of the attack in the Persian calendar. He said it would happen on the 10th of the 20th of Shahrivar. Now, the CIA operative that he spoke to, the CIA officer, Persian speaker he spoke to, took out his calendar and said, "Oh, you mean the 10th of September? You know, when you have a better idea what's going to happen, come back and talk to us." Well, CIA George, who was saying this to the Iranian defector, couldn't even read his Persian calendar correctly, because the 20th of Shahrivar, the date of the attack, was the 11th of September. So the CIA had been warned. They didn't pay attention to the warning, and they dismissed this particular defector. They called him a fabricator, and they threw him out. They kicked him out. They gave him $500 and told him to disappear, and they have never listened to him since.
You would think the CIA would have learned from their past failures by now.
Well, Michael, this is something that I think, unfortunately, is systematic. The CIA has shown that it has a really hard time dealing with defectors, human sources, individuals, people who come out of hostile intelligence agencies. And the Iranians are very good at this. Sometimes they plant false defectors. It's true. And so there's a reason to be cautious, but there is not a reason to totally reject virtually every single defector who comes in from Iran. And that's what the CIA has been doing. They are not capable of discriminating between people who potentially can bring them real information, hard information, and those who are being sent out by the Iranian regime. And Americans have paid for this.
Now that this information is out, where does it go from here?
Well, I can tell you one of the things that will happen. There will be a full public airing of all of this information, the information uncovered by the 9/11 Commission, the information covered by people like myself, independent investigators, in the coming months, when the families of the victims of the 9/11 attacks actually have their day in court. They are going to go to court in the next couple of months. They will have a court hearing either in New York or in Washington, D.C., where they are accusing the Islamic Republic of Iran of having participated materially in the conspiracy of the 9/11 attacks, and they will lay out all of this information at that time. Michael, I have to say, just as a matter of disclosure, I have been working on this investigation, helping the families of the victims of 9/11, some of this information I have been personally privy to. I can't talk about it yet in great detail, but the things that I've spoken to you about today are already out there on the public record. They already should be enough to get Congress involved in investigating this, and in particular, taking a look at what the CIA actually knew before 9/11 and what they failed to act upon.
Ken Timmerman, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I really appreciate the opportunity to air some of this information. Thank you for what you're doing.
Savage.
Back to the Savage Nation. It is a night of terror in India, and finally Fox News is clearly stating that it is Muslim terrorists who are doing the slaughtering. Again, I repeat, there is no confusion in the minds of anyone who is being killed who's doing it. Fox News has it up. The others are still afraid to say it like it is. Muslim terrorists targeting American and British tourists have launched a wave of attacks in Bombay, India, at hotels, hospitals, and other sites. They say they've killed at least 80. They've taken hostages. Hundreds are injured. The attacks are going on all over India, by the way. One hotel has been secured by the Indian anti-terrorism team. They're continuing to try to evacuate a second. But elsewhere in the city, hostages have been taken. And this is an ongoing terror campaign by Muslim terrorists in India. Here in America, whether they're related is your guess. In my mind, it's all a worldwide plot against the entire world, but there are federal agents with M16 machine guns, fully automatic weapons, in Penn Station, because apparently the practitioners of the religion of peace who are doing the killing in India would like to cripple the Northeast train corridor and further cripple the economy in America, maybe bring down the entire nation. Now that we're weak, they'd like to kick us in the guts and bring us down completely. And, of course, what do we get from Obama but double talk and a college-level statement about we're with the democracy of India and blah, blah, blah. Not one word about who did it or what we're going to do in response. 1-800-449-8255. Hawaii, John, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mr. Savage. I'm a two-tour Iraq vet. I just want to talk to you. I caught your show a while back when you were talking about how the radical feminist movement has really impacted the military. And I'd never heard that talked about until I heard you say it. And it just it made me think so much how true that is in my experience based on the fact that at all
now, you were a combat soldier and you had an answer to what, a feminist placed on top of you who never fired a gun?
No, I wouldn't go that far, but when I was in the movement over there, I had to organize a lot of folks and get them into places, and I dealt with females. And the one thing that I've noticed is that the ability, the mere presence of females in that environment cripples readiness. And not only that, I don't think people realize how much money it additionally it costs to deal with these women because, I mean, it doubles the amount of everything you have to spend money on because they need separate everything.
Sure, that's what the feminists have wanted, to cripple the U.S. military and cripple the U.S. police departments. And have they succeeded? Their wildest dreams have come true. All you need to do is look at San Francisco's police department, run by radical feminists. We have a homicide epidemic out of control. We have a police chief who is not qualified to fire a gun in over 3 years. And we have a demoralized police force with the perpetrators out of control in the streets of San Francisco. It is a terrible disgrace what is going on in America. But if you think it's bad now, wait, it's going to get much worse under Obama, John. That's all I can say to you. But stay on the line, because since you're a combat veteran, my heart goes out to you. Free copy of Psychological Nudity. Stay on the line. Albany, New York. Deb, you're on the Savage Nation next. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Oh, I'm calling because my daughter is in Penn Station tonight, and I didn't know about the threat until I heard it on your show.
Well, no, it's not being covered by Fox. They're discussing turkey recipes. The leprechaun is discussing green beer, apparently, with a comedian. He doesn't want to offend the 19% ownership of Fox News by having people get a little too nervous about the connection.
I'm a longtime listener, and I've tried to call you before, but tonight...
All right, well, thanks for listening. I mean, I try to give you the news mixed in with politics of the sorts and also mixed in with personal commentary and personal stories. Houston, Texas, Manjeep, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, it's an honor to talk with you, and you made my day by, you know, bringing the Gandhi exposure to the public of United States, America. You know, like, you know, you're so right, man. We just love your show, and God bless you.
That's right. Educated people around America love this show. The uneducated dolts, the communists, the psychopaths, and the perverts hate me. But, Manjeep, I know what Gandhi did, and I do know that the road to you-know-where is often paved with good intentions. Whether or not he even had good intentions is another story, because although he is portrayed in a comic book fashion as a man of peace and a pacifist, his own family had a totally different story to tell about him. If I'm not mistaken, did Gandhi's daughter not commit suicide from him?
You're right, sir.
I am right. No, he was a monster to his family, a total monster, an egomaniac, which is indicative of what he really wanted to do. He was a power-mad lunatic who used the guise of pacifism to get what he wanted. But look, if it had resulted in peace between Hindus and Muslims, it would be one thing. But it did not result in peace. It resulted in the death of approximately a million people. Some say 500,000. That's an awful lot of people who died as a result of this man's vision of carving off a piece of India into a country called Pakistan, which was made up out of thin air.
Can I, Dr. Savage, can I add a little bit something quickly? I won't take your time. You know that when you talk about this Muslim topic, we are so glad that you talk our language. I'm a Sikh, and we've been through with them for like at least 400 years, you know, like, you know, sacrificing back and forth. And
yes.
I just love you so much that you could speak that honestly about on this thing that it makes my day.
No, I understand. The truth has a certain healing quality to it, especially when you live in a geography of lies in the U.S. media, a geography of double talk, a geography of ignoramuses. When you hear the truth, it's as like a medication has arrived in your brain. I'm trying to reach you in flowery language, but I don't know too many Sikh people, but on one level, there's an Indian restaurant I go to, which happens to be run by Sikh people, and I've gotten to know them only casually. And I understand a little bit of the history of the weapon that the Sikh male has to carry and why it is a mark of manhood for the Sikh male to carry the weapon. It's because in your neighborhood, without it, you would have been turned into a pool of blood.
Because, you know, these Muslims, they were snatching our women, and so barbaric at that time of the time of history, you know. That was the only way, like the way you say it, just let's go and attack, you know, the certain part of the country. So that was the reason we have to carry at that time.
Well, my friend, I know the truth, and unfortunately, it's very difficult to state the truth in America today because people misinterpret what you're saying, or they don't like what you're saying, and they try to twist your words. But it's only a matter of time until 80 or 90% of the American people come to understand that your reality and my reality is truly reality. Thank you. You know what, Monsieur? Stay on the line. I'm giving out free copies of Psychological Nudity to you, to everybody else who calls and gets on the show today. 1-800-449-8255. You know, it's interesting to me that I have many Iranians who listen to the show who love what I say about Ahmadinejad, because they know what Iran is facing under this Hitler. They know he's the Hitler of our time. And yet how long has it been since you've heard anybody in the media refer to Ahmadinejad as what he is, which is the Hitler of our time? Answer, never. How long has it been since you've heard any of the leftist scum in the media refer to the Castro brothers in Cuba in proper terms, which is that they're bloodthirsty, tyrannical mass murderers? The answer is never. In fact, that shameful degenerate, Sean Penn, right now goes to Cuba to kiss the ring of a mass murderer named Raul Castro, and that degenerate psychotic, in my opinion, the fan, the loyal fan of everything degenerate and wrong in America, Sean Penn, has the nerve to try to act as an emissary for this mass murderer, Raul Castro, and comes back and says that Raul Castro, the mass murderer of Cuba, will be happy to talk to Obama. In my day, Sean Penn would be arrested on returning to America and arrested for sedition, which is probably exactly what he wants. But let's forget that stupid actor, because he's of no meaning whatsoever except to the perverts and the degenerate left in America. Nobody else likes him. Portland, Oregon. Ryan, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, you know, I didn't go to Harvard, you know, but I'll tell you, I'm a roofer. I have a roofing company in Portland. And you, Michael Savage, are an island oasis of wrathful indignation and truth in a sea of madness and hellish lies. That's what I can
say. I don't know how you could live in Portland. Well, it's like saying, how can I live in San Francisco? It's the same thing. A roofer in Portland must be a real anomaly, in that you know how to drive a nail and put up a piece of tar paper. I don't think the liberals would not know how to even drive a nail.
I have a prediction. India will make a preemptive nuclear strike on Pakistan. I think it's going to happen this year, and I don't think this world's ready for it.
Wow. Well, that's something that would be frightening, because Pakistan has the nuclear weapon nuclear weapons as well. You know that.
Yes, but India has, I don't know how they say it in Hindu, but chutzpah. And, you know, we don't. And I have one more comment about Nancy Pelosi. I think if it was up to her, because we always talk about the 73 virgins, you know, for the male bombers, maybe the female bombers would get 73 pairs of shoes.
Oh, that's terrible. All right, even though you're not from Bombay, I'm sending you a free copy of Psychological Nudity for the holidays, because you're a roofer in Portland. I could use a roofer in San Francisco, by the way. No, I have a good roofer. It's raining down here. So far, no leaks whatsoever. Look, it's a serious time that we're talking about here. And to see that Americans and Brits are being attacked, you know which way the psychos, the drug addicts in the media are going to spin this. You know already what they're doing. You know they're going to justify it. You know they're going to say that the Muslims have a grievance. You know, as I stand here, that that's already what the psychopaths in the media are already planning to publish for tomorrow's rag, which, of course, is why I thrive and they die, which is why the newspapers are dying and talk radio is booming. The fact of the matter is, we are booming, and that's exactly why Pelosi and the gang want to put us out of business. They do not want you to have an alternative source of opinion and news. Portland, Mike, you're up on the set. Is that the same Mike or a different one? I'll go to Cincinnati, Greg. Cincinnati, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving, Michael.
Yes.
I want to say is that you know, the enemies in this country, well, back to you, what you said, the enemies are both outside and inside, and I think the enemies inside this country are far more dangerous.
They are, because the enemies outside could never take away our freedom of speech. They could never attack the First Amendment and get away with it. And yet Obama and Pelosi and the minions of the left, including Charles Schumer, have no qualms whatsoever in saying they want to rewrite the U.S. Constitution. By the way, the Constitution is very clear, which is that the government shall not limit free speech. And yet you have Nancy Pelosi and Charles Schumer saying, we want to limit free speech. We do not like certain opinions and certain speech, so we're going to rule it out. We're going to eliminate it. How can they get away with this?
I don't know. It's amazing because they want to crush the truth. They're telling us that don't believe what you see. Believe what we tell you to believe. And people are falling for this. You know, you see how things are going on in the world. And, for example, one of the latest political correctness moves, which has been said, you know, today, is that this is radical extremists pulling this. I'm amazed Fox.
Yeah, every news outlet except Fox is saying extremists, terrorists. Finally, Fox said it. About 20 minutes ago, they said Muslims. They dared use the M word. Thank you very much for the call. Here's Savage's five-point plan to save the economy. I was going to do the show on this until this terrible occurrence in Bombay. One, arrest and jail Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson. Arrest and jail SEC Chairman Chris Cox and try them for fraud, if not other crimes. Two, indict and arrest the CEO of any company that has received a bailout. I can guarantee you they're all guilty of something. Three, in Savage's five-point plan to save the economy, seize the personal assets, the houses, the cars, the jets of these same CEOs to use as collateral against the bailouts. Four, immediately raise interest rates to encourage savings. Did you hear what I said? Not lower to encourage spending, but raise interest rates to encourage saving. Make America sane again. Raise interest rates. And finally, five, in my five-point plan to save the economy, shrink the federal government by 10% immediately in every department. I'll be right back. Savage. Well, here we sit like a bunch of moron patsies. We read that Muslim terrorists targeting American and British tourists are on a wave of mass slaughter in India. People in buildings are on fire, hospitals being attacked, hotels being attacked, and we're sitting here doing nothing. We're here sitting here absolutely doing nothing, and Obama's spokesmouth comes up with some kind of double talk that you'd expect from a university president after some kind of shooting incident, not blaming anybody, talking about peace and talking about love, instead of talking about what we must do to make certain that they don't attack us on our homeland again. Las Vegas, Brian, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, how are you? I'm a singer here in Vegas, so that might make me leftist in your view. But my concern or my question is, shouldn't we be more worried about what George Bush's response to all of this is?
Oh, yes, George Bush had something to say today. Hold on, Brian, listen, here's what George Bush had to say.
Recent weeks I've talked a lot about sprinting to the finish. Yet I've assured these turkeys, they will not be trotting to their finish. That's because in keeping with a long-standing tradition, pumpkin and pecan are hereby granted a full and unconditional presidential pardon.
Doesn't that give you strength, Brian, that the president pardoned some turkeys today?
Yeah, and I guess that's where my concern lies in, is why isn't anybody addressing this to him or requesting some kind of statement or what have you about this?
And well, you're raising a very good point. He is the sitting president, and he said nothing so far about the Muslim terrorism wave in India and the threats against our own transportation system here in New York City. By the way, going back to your first point there, because you're a singer, I think you're a leftist. On the contrary, I never assume anything about a person until they tell me what their beliefs are.
Well, I was a McCain supporter originally, and back in
on that count, then you're a classic liberal. I'm joking.
And you know, and I think obviously the benefit is, I think, you know, because I travel a lot around the world, Indonesia, London, what have you, and I saw how those folks looked at America, and I think it sends a signal finally that we're not a racist country. I think there's a lot of positives about having him be president, by the way, from the outside in.
If they're that facile that they think just because we have a man of color as president that we're a better nation, then what do you care about their opinion? They're a bunch of idiots.
Well, no, I think part of...
I mean, what are his policies that they should suddenly love us? What, because we have a man who's part black, suddenly we're a better nation? What does that say about the fools who you are assuming that their judgment means anything?
No, but I think catching up with the times is an important thing. I think that does affect some sort of change.
Well, catching up with the times, why not elect a transvestite? That'll make people in Brazil happy.
Okay, fair enough.
Why not elect a she-male to the presidency? That'll make the people from Rio de Janeiro really swing to the samba when they think of America. Anyway, Brian, I'll send you a free copy of Psychological Nudity, and we can talk another time. We're almost out of time in this hour. There's only 2 minutes to go, and it's a terrible situation. There are people who are dead and dying in India. They say 80. It's probably going to be much higher. They say a couple of hundred wounded. God knows what it really means. We've got 4 or 5 or 6 regions of India under siege right now. The anti-terrorism police, the chief of the anti-terrorism squad, is dead. Instead of sitting in a bunker with a television set, as is done here in the United States of America by our leadership, he actually went in to try to free the hostages, and he got killed. The Muslim terrorists targeted, they say, American and British tourists, and they have launched a wave of attacks in Bombay, India, at hotels, at other sites, including a hospital last I checked, and there are still hostages in their hands. I suggest that you keep checking news sources, including Michael Savage, .com all night, because I'm going to be updating it all night as I get the news and send it on to the webmaster. But we do know that the Muslim fanatics have attacked the innocent once again. Witnesses have said that the terrorists look for British citizens and American citizens in particular, so that will give the American left a way to justify hating America even more and say that it was not for our foreign policy, this wouldn't be happening. And that, of course, is exactly why the enemy is so dangerous. He understands that the American left is a gullible mass of Gulliver's Travels. He understands that they don't know history and don't want to know history. He understands that we have a vast class of fools in this country who want to blame America first because they do not know history and do not want to learn history. They do not understand that Muslim fanatics have been at war with the world since the 7th century, more particularly since the 9th century. They want to see only America blamed for this current wave of bloodshed. Stand up to them. Stand up to them and tell them that they should study history or they will be condemned to repeat it. I wish you all a very good Thanksgiving. This is Michael Savage. God bless America.
Savage.